Welcome to Man Talk, a ministry sponsored by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where we're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and to point men to their God-assigned roles. Now here's your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
Welcome to Man Talk Radio. This is Will Hardy, your co-host.
And this is Roy Jones Jr., your co-host.
And we'd like to welcome you back, Roy. I tell you, it's been such a while, you know, in digesting a lot of what we've been talking about in reference to these 45 points that the communists is attempting to use to take over countries and to influence our country and eventually take it over if we allow them to.
You're exactly right, Will. And I think the listeners have commented. We've had several people give us feedback related to they didn't realize all these things were going on and how this kind of tied into a bigger strategy and basically disrupting our country. So I'm excited that we're doing this. And it does take a little time to get through each of these points. And I'm glad to be back with you. Excited for our folks to hear the rest of this conversation over the next couple of shows.
Yeah, because it, you know, this is something I think as we talk through it and we find ourselves in the midst of it, because as things go on and on, you know, through our government and then how our government is influencing the actions of people through their non-actions, then I think what we see is this type of thing being propagated throughout the country. And so when we left off, we were talking about number 15, but we're on number 16 now, which is use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. You know, and I think there's a lot can be said about that, because when you look at, well, and I did a little research. I went back and I started looking up the things that, or the courts that were influencing particular decisions regarding civil rights. And of course, there is a court called the Warren Court. And this particular court, you know, they did some good things, but they also did some things that were not so good. And the not so good things they did, as we all know, was they outlawed prayer in schools. Right. And they also paved the way for the legalization of abortion. But on the flip side of that, they ended this court. Ended racial segregation in the school system, and they also expanded the civil, the constitutional rights of the U.S. citizens. So, and you know, we talked about this before, that when you have a system of government set up, it's not going to satisfy everybody with all of the rulings that they make. And, you know, and if they follow the Constitution and interpret the Constitution as the Constitution was written, instead of injecting, you know, opinions that were not necessarily those that reflect the law, then I think we can see, we would see an advancement of the country rather than this regression that we're having now.
Yeah, I believe you're right, Will. And that's the thing we've... As a country, we seem to have gotten away from the fact that the governing bodies, as well as the Supreme Court and everyone, needs to make the decisions that are best for the majority of the people, right? That affects and has impact on the majority of the people. And I think this is where we get into, challenges, right, as we work through those things, is that we try to, we being the government and different entities, try to address every person's concerns, every group's concerns, and oftentimes it's just the group that has the loudest voice, as we've talked about before, right?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, and I think when we ended up with all of this upheaval that happened over 2020, and then, you know, all of the rioting and storming of the Capitol and all these stuff, you know, you have this mindset, I think. And when people start taking sides, especially born again believers, that's when we start getting into trouble. And we have to, as we've said on the program so many times, that we have to see Amen. Things through the lens of the Bible. And when we do that as born again believers, then there is absolutely anybody who want to argue with that, then they have to take it up with God. But we have to take a stand. And you know, just and of course, our next point will lead into something that I read just yesterday, that there was a school system in, and I want to say maybe it was DePaul University. And what they had is they had a petition going around where the LGBTQ community was saying that they should outlaw and abolish a Christian group on campus because of their hateful speech and tone regarding the LGBTQ community. And what made this really interesting to me is, and I want to make sure that it's DePaul, I'm going to ask our producer if he could look that up for me. But what was amazing is that this university is a Catholic based university. Yeah. And I was so blown away. And I'm saying, okay, if you're coming in to this university who is based off of and have a foundation of biblical standards, then why would you make such a claim if you understood coming to this university where
they were not buying into the philosophy and the beliefs of the university, right? They were just going there maybe even to be a disruptor, as we've talked about before, right, Will? I mean, they could be, hey, I'm going to go here and going to shake things up, and I'm going to be a disruptor to the norm. And I'm with you. Why not just go to a secular university, public university, where those are not the values and the foundation of that particular school?
Exactly. And of course, that goes that goes right into our next point here, and that is to get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, and put party line
exactly in textbooks. All those things.
And what are we seeing?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. We're seeing these things by leaps and bounds. You know, when Jesus said, he said, when the disciples brought the little children to him, and this is in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, but he said when they brought the little children to him that they might touch him, and the disciples rebuked them when they brought them. And then Jesus saw it, he was displeased with them, and he said unto him, let the little children come unto me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Surely I say unto you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And then he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. So when I read, get control of the school system, and of course, they want to eliminate, you know, the prayer and eliminate all these things within the school system, then what happens is their agenda is now forthcoming, because you have this very, very slow, methodical infiltration, and you see that socialism is being more prominent because of the rebellion and, of course, the loud voice in the past
about the slow fade, right? And that's where things just take a very, very, very gradual shift. And over a period of time, 15, 20 years, 25 years, you look back and say, how did we get here? And it was all the little things, the little movements that were never protested or objected to by the folks that really have a heart for the health of our country and the health of each individual. And I think that's what's happening in the school system. And that's why I think some parents have just gotten fed up. You've seen some of that on some of the news clips. I know, Will, and we've talked about that. And even in our own community, I think that's where our lieutenant governor was first made popular, if you will, on around the gun control issue. You remember back in 2017, I guess it was 2018. So there are people are finally starting to speak out, need to speak out, need to step up and be involved in what's going on in our schools. But again, this is number 17 of 45 elements, folks, that are the true, I would call it the playbook of the Communist Party, is the best way to refer to it as. And number 18 says, gain control of all student newspapers. Well,
you know, and the student newspaper, that's like the heart and voice, because, you know, and I recall when I was in school and I knew folks who were part of the school newspaper. And of course, now everything is on the phone. So, you know, the paper is not a paper in a sense anymore. But, you know, everybody stayed in tune with that because they felt that the students, because the students ran the paper and they were the editors and printers and all of that, that the content of what was mentioned in the paper would be more, at a point for them to understand and get the real facts rather than things coming from a teacher who might have a tendency to smooth things over, if you know what I mean. You know, so they read it. I mean, you know, I would go over to like the recreation center in the school or go into the library and students would have that paper out and because they want to know exactly what was going on and they knew the students would read that. So if that same mentality is continuing today, but of course everything is on the cell phone
now, all right.
You know, so students are absorbing this leaps and bounds. And so exactly. And when you're gaining control over that, now you're having a voice to that student body
and
ultimately
a
world of influence when it comes to decision making.
And not necessarily taking an objective look at what they're hearing, right? They're not using critical thinking skills as we've talked about in the past. They're just taking it at face value and then they go to react or all of a sudden jump into the support of something they may not truly understand. And I think that's one of the things we have discussed many times is the skill set and critical skill thinking and processing needs to be sharpened at a very early age so that children, young adults are taught to think about, well, I hear this piece of this. Let me ask the questions that would get me to the full picture versus just what I'm hearing. And hopefully that's something that will continue to get better in our society as well. Number 19, Will, use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations that are under communist attack.
And see, this goes right into what you just mentioned from number 18. So if a person is not thinking critically and they're thinking more emotionally and they're letting their emotions drive their decisions, then they're more apt to allow themselves to engage in programs and engage themselves in organizations that say, if you're attempting to stop us from proclaiming some objective that we have, which is communistic, then this objective is you, then you're violating my First Amendment right of free speech. So see, again, taking and making an attempt to use the Constitution and the Bill of Rights within that Constitution to attempt to take away those things that the Constitution truly meant to be. Because when you talk about free speech and freedom of the press, you're using these things to make an attempt to maybe sway the government, and it's supposed to be for the interests of the people. Now, if this group comes and says, okay, my interest is communistic in nature, then again, it's that slow infiltration of thought processes that a person would engage in, grasp hold of, and then all of a sudden, you know, they say to themselves, hey, my agenda is being met because free speech is protected under the First Amendment.
Infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, and policy making decisions. Do you think that's happened?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and when you look at number 19 and you look at riots and, you know, when we were talking about how you have that a person can have what they call the mob mentality. And what that is if you see a bunch of people yelling, screaming, and then you're marching along with them in that way, then all of a sudden, bam, you know, you're affected by, again, what you see and what you hear. And the scripture tell us, don't make friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. That's Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. And then he says in Proverbs 29, an angry man stirs up strife and a furious man abounds in transgression. And that's Proverbs 29 again in 22. So see, when you're talking angry, you're talking someone who is full of rage, you know, on the initial onset. And of course, they're going on and on and on and on. And the question is they're going on to what end? And of course, the end, they say, we're justifying what we say because we're trying to have this particular goal. And this goal may seem harmless to the person who is not knowledgeable on what they're trying to do. And see, and this is why we're doing what we're doing. Again, we're trying to educate and, you know, tell the listening listeners of our program to go out and search these things out. Search them out for yourself. Check into it and see that what the agenda is, it may not come to fruition in your lifetime with respect to all of these goals or the ultimate effect of what these goals have, but they're certainly on the way. And the born again believers, we need to start getting together instead of at each other's throat and having all of these divisions with respect to doctrines and denominationalism and things like this, because the socialists are well organized.
An article
and
that's out there.
They have agenda, and they're carrying that agenda out.
Achieve their revolution in the West without the bloodshed. And I can't tell what the date of the article is here, but the author is Mike Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z.
Wow.
And the key takeaways from this article, first one is cancel culture is merely a tool, the enforcement mechanism with which the woke left retains the cultural territory it has conquered. Number two, when people's lives are canceled, they can lose their freedom of expression, their ability to make a living, and sometimes even their friends. Number three, there are many willing to take a stand and say, no, I won't live by lies. Cancel culture is the left's instruments to force them to do so. And, you know, we don't normally talk about left or right, but in this particular article, they're referring to what's going on with the Marxist movement and how the cancel culture, which unfortunately seems to be coming from one direction, but does cause one to pause and say, okay, is this a core or foundational issue behind Marxism, which is what they're saying here? So
And you see, to the untrained and to the person who are not researching these things out, they look at it as something innocent. They're saying, okay, if this person over here is speaking in reference to an objective that they're trying to meet, just leave these folks alone and let them speak, you know, their objective, because they have the right to say that what they believe is coming about. And see, that's the dilemma, Roy, because the dilemma is even though you have freedom under the Constitution to say those things that you say in reference to the objective that you're trying to meet, if those things are not taken through the filter of Scripture and look at the agenda on not only where they originated, but what they mean, and then the attempts that they're attempting to do in order to keep the Christian community
silent.
Will,
it looks like it's time for us to end this.
And this is when the
particular
podcast have to stand up instead of fighting amongst ourselves.
The follow-up to this, and we'll pick back up at that time with number 21, which says gain control, key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. We'll leave that thought with you as we close the show. And folks, we thank you for joining us. Will, it's always good to catch up with you. Johnny, we thank you for all you do for us. And Will, why don't you take us out in prayer?
Lord, we just thank you for this blessed opportunity that you have given to us to be a voice for someone to take up the banner, to take up the cross, to understand the agenda of the enemy in these perilous times. We thank you, Lord, for all of the listeners. We just ask, God, that they continue to just let the will of God be carried out in their life. And if they don't know you, Lord, we pray that they come to know you, that they recognize that they are a sinner and that they cannot save themselves and they need a savior. And only you, Lord Jesus, can save. No man comes to the Father except through you. And so we just ask that if that listener is out there who is not born again, would just give their life over and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need a savior. I need you, Lord, to come into my life, to take me to a place where I would be with you forevermore. I confess all my sins. I believe that you died for me. You hung on that cross. You bled. And on the third day, just as you said, you rose again.
Amen.
And
thank
I receive
you. Folks, we appreciate you joining us. We love you. And we'll
as
talk
one
to
of
you
your children.
Week.
We
Have
thank
a great
you,
week.
God, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Folks, this is Johnny, Talkman's producer for Man Talk Radio Podcast. I just want to remind you to join us every first, third, and fifth Friday for an amazing breakfast and fellowship with men who have a heart for God and a love for their fellow Christian men at The Crossing at South Main Campus, located at 1130 South Main Street, Kernersville, North Carolina, 27284. Doors open at 6:30 with a hard stop at 8 a.m. So come out and recharge your spirit before starting your weekend.
As we conclude today's show, TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, are building a community of men to be servant leaders in their home, communities, churches, and work environment. Check us out at our website for upcoming events and regular scheduled meetings. Don't forget to send us an email for topics that you would like us to visit in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Man Talk. Visit us at TAWCMM.com.